It's Talking Flicks with JT and Grant Lee.
Yes, hello, it's Talking Flicks to time. JT here, and it's a Talking Flicks to episode, so usually Grant Lee doesn't turn up, but I think we've got him here this week. Oh, yes, we do. Hello, Mr. Lee.
I am back. I am back for my first Talking Flicks stuff for, 2 weeks I missed?
Month. Two months, was it? Was that? No, that was no, it hasn't been that long, but it is good to have you back, Mr. Lee.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be back. And as we said in the podcast last Friday, I was actually in Japan. So I was
doing some things remotely. So it's good that you...
I like to just, you know...
Good to keep giving me a reminder. Yep. Yeah, thank you for that. It's kind of good to have you back because it's just been too professional. And I think... we kind of need to take a bit of that shine off it, you know? Like, it's just... and you know what? I mean, and I've had to do a lot, lots and lots of research, so I think it's your time to do some heavy lifting, Mr. Lee. So it's definitely your turn, but let's introduce today's Talking Flickster. Well, he's no stranger, really. He's one of our favourites. Duncan, hello.
Hey, guys. Back again. How are you?
Yeah. Well, I'm great. How are you, Mr. Lee? You want to answer Duncan, Mr. Lee?
I actually do. Before we go on, Duncan, I firstly just want to say thank you for doing a great job for the 2 weeks. But no, you're not going to get my job. No, you're not going to take over Talking Flicks or anything like that. And you and JT, what's this? No, I'm back.
Hey, so look out. Remember, we don't need you anymore. We've got that sound clip of you laughing. That's all we need.
That's all we need.
And you know what? When I heard that, I just cracked it. I lost it. And I was on quiet train that I wasn't meant to be talking or laughing or making noise. And I just got the giggles and I couldn't stop laughing. So, yeah, well done.
That's perfect.
So we've got him back this week, Duncan. So, but that's okay. We'll just sit back a little bit and he can do some work.
Yeah, I'm going to upset the, you know, this... thing that you two have got, so yeah, sorry.
See, now when I hear Grant laugh, I can't tell if it's the sound clip or the real thing.
You know what? I totally agree. Great to have you back, Miss Lee. Good to have you on board too, Dunk. Originally, we had Jake. Jake was going to be checking out this heretic this week, but obviously it was unavailable, so Duncan has stepped in, as he always does. He's an absolute legend.
Which we appreciate.
We'll have a listen to the trailer in just a tick. Before we do, what did you think of this new Hugh Grant film?
It's totally up my alley. I saw the trailer a couple of months ago, and that sort of dark, mysterious horror, the slow burn, with a really creepy journey and an uncomfortable payoff, that's the sort of thing that I love. So, yeah, I was very stoked to see it.
All right, let's check it out. This is Heretic.
Hi, good afternoon, ma'am.
Are you interested in learning about our Savior, Jesus Christ? Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi, are you
interested? My name is Sister Barnes, and
oh my gosh. Are you interested in learning more about the Church of Jesus Christ?
Come on in.
We can't come inside unless another woman is present.
My wife is home. Does that come?
Great.
You like pie?
Yeah.
My wife has pie in the oven.
I could tell that you are a very spiritually curious person.
I think it is good
to be religious, to find your faith in a doctrine you actually believe.
Well, our work here is done.
I will go and check on the pie. So sweet, silent
We just need to go home.
I won't keep you if you wish to leave. But I want you to choose which door to go through based on your faith.
What does this have to do with us leaving?
Everything.
I think that we're being studied.
It will make your hearts beat faster. It may even make you want to die. Do not be afraid. You will witness a miracle.
Wow. Oh my God. Doesn't that sound incredible? Duncan, I would have been sitting there just with my eyes closed and my ears closed. I wouldn't be able to watch it. It sounds so scary.
Yeah, look, it's scary. More mentally, like, it's not like a slasher. It's not a jump scare movie. It's not the sort of horror, you know, where you're hiding behind your hands. It's more kind of messes with your head, and you're watching it mess with the head of the characters. So I think you could handle it, Grant. Like, it's not like watching Scream or something. It's on a bit of a different level.
I think it's
okay. Well, I will tell you, I actually walked into the cinema today and I saw the end of the movie and I just went, ooh, okay, righto. It was like the last 5-10 minutes of it, and I went, ooh, yeah, I don't think I can still do it. I don't like those psychological thrillers like this, because Hugh Grant, he's playing the part so well.
Yeah, he was amazing. Definitely the best part of the movie, without a doubt.
Dunk, you mentioned before one of these movies, Slow Burn. Can you just explain more about, and you often hear them with horror thriller type movies. What do you mean when you refer to Slow Burn, for those that might not know?
Slow Burn, I guess it takes its time to set the scene, to let you get to know the characters. It doesn't rush into anything. Like, if you picture the first Scream movie, or even many of the Scream movies after that, you know, in the first kind of 15-minute window, you have the scene set up and you have violence straight away, and it shows you what you're getting into. A slow burn, you know, it might take 30, 45 minutes or so before things really start getting intense. And, you know, I don't think that's a boring thing. I think that is setting up the story, and it's character development, and it's building up to a payoff. And that's what I liked most about this movie, is in that slow burn in the intro, all the conversation between the characters giving you an idea of where it's going, what the themes are. It does take time, but I like that sense of sort of dread and foreboding that builds through those slower moments at the start. Like, I don't need instant blood on the screen. I like the tension to build and the discomfort to grow in you. Like, that's why I like to see a horror movie, because, you know, if it's all rainbows and lollipops, it's not really going to be very fun. So, yeah, that's what a slow burn is. And it's not for everybody. Some people go to a horror movie and they just kind of want instant blood and gore and craziness. But I think a movie like this, you need to be patient and you need to listen to everything and pay attention to everything, and it makes the payoff that much greater.
I'm sure Mr. Lee would agree with me here, but the one thing I hate about horror movies is some of the dumb decisions that some of the characters make in the movie. It usually means going inside when they shouldn't be, or not getting outside when they should be. In this particular instance with Heretic, there's two Mormon missionaries, and essentially they knock on Mr. Reed, who is Hugh Grant's character's door, and they decide to go inside, which not a very bright decision, is it?
No, you know, like, in our world, we would be smarter than to do that. But I don't think that's the case in every scenario. Like, it's so easy to look at certain situations, you know, news stories, movies, whatever, and say, oh, I wouldn't have done that. I would have done it this way. But until you're in the moment, like, you never really know. And say in this scenario, when the girls do go into his house, he is such like a warm and charismatic man. Just like his smile, his expressions, the way he speaks to them, he just sounds so nice and innocent. And the inside of his house looks so warm and inviting because they show up at his door and it's pouring rain. They've ridden their bikes there. So, I mean, they can't really escape it in a hurry. So if you see a nice warm house and there's a pleasant man at the door and he says, oh, you know, my wife's just inside. Because as Mormons, they say that, you know, sort of in their religion, in the rules, we can only come inside if there's another female in the room. So it's like, yeah, my wife's in here. So in this scenario, they don't have any reason to believe that it's unsafe. So I think anybody would be the same. You go, oh, I wouldn't go into a stranger's house. But if everything is ticking the boxes and you're not thinking of the worst case scenario, then I can see how they made that decision.
And the other thing too, JT, if they didn't go inside the house, the movie would have ended after 5 minutes.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, but you just get frustrated, don't you?
There'd be no movie.
You could have been alive.
Yes. Yeah, that's like a lot of movies that existed in the 90s that, you know, if they were around now, wouldn't be a big deal. Like Home Alone, like if they had mobile phones, nothing bad would have happened.
Exactly. So
correct.
You just text mum and like, oh, you forgot me.
Yeah, or you'd go, no, I'm going to stay at home by myself. Like, yeah. I could do that. Yeah, especially a 9-year-old. Now, do you like blueberry pie?
Oh, it wouldn't be my first choice. I'd probably go, look, I remember back in the day when McDonald's sold cherry pie, and that's probably like 20 years ago, and it was amazing. So that'd probably be my first choice, but I wouldn't turn down blueberry pie.
It's kind of like a bit of that the old Hansel and Gretel type scenario, isn't it? You know, like that's, you know, in a weird kind of twist.
We were talking about how he seems so inviting, and that's because he's intended it to be that way. Like, this isn't a spoiler. This is in the trailer. So, you know, you can already know about this. But Mr. Reed, he makes it seem so... you know, nice inside and so friendly. It's part of his plan. It's not like these girls just randomly popped up and he was like, oh, you know, I'm going to put this plan into action. He knows what he's doing. So, I can't blame the girls for going in.
Well, Mr. Lee mentioned just before about how awesome Hugh Grant is in this movie, how well he portrays his character of Mr. Reed. Last week's Talk and Flicks to Chloe, she had this question based around Hugh Grant for you.
Hugh Grant is awesome, so maybe a good question would be, does it stack up to his comedies, maybe?
Look, I've got to be honest, I wasn't really watching his movies in the 90s when he was, you know, that stereotypical charming man in all the rom-coms. I was pretty young, and I mean, that didn't really appeal to me, but I was very aware of who he was and what he was in. I had sisters and my mum, and, you know, they thought Hugh Grant was awesome. So I definitely know what he was like back then. And he probably was a bit typecast, but he did it well. And that's why I think this works so well, because he knows how to play that charming man, just super charismatic and likable. And that's how he kind of lures them in, I guess. But even, you know, someone watching the movie, you really like him. And even though he has certain plans, like, you're sort of simultaneously rooting for both the girls and Mr. Reed because, you know, you like the girls because they're innocent and, you know, very sweet. And even if he is meant to be the movie's villain, he's just such a likable guy. Like, everything he says makes sense. I mean, depending where you stand on religion, you might agree or disagree with what he has to say, but everything he says is logical and well thought out, and just listening to his opinions and ideas about religion, I don't know, you're hanging off every word, I guess, and you just want to know what he has to say. And so I guess that's probably how it compares to, you know, the rom-coms that he used to be in, is that he taps into that very likable man. And but I guess this time, you know, it's not romance. He's he's just trying to hook them in, I guess.
Isn't that a really good character? If Hugh Grant can do something like that and make you feel like, you know, he is this likable character, at, you know, yes, he has a dark side, but he's a great actor to be able to do something like that. And, you know, we've said it in the past, you know, with Robin Williams, who's so versatile, you know, he could do so many different things. There's not many actors these days that can go from comedy or to drama to horror and all that. But I think from what you're saying, Hugh Grant has definitely done it.
Well, like you just mentioned, Robin Williams, the movie I always loved of his was One Hour Photo. And it was just a total stark contrast. You know, like in One Hour Photo, he never like laughed or was kind of silly or anything like. And if he was, it was obviously very forced from his character, not from the actor himself. Yes. Like he was trying to, I guess, fool the other characters into the movie into it. But that's the difference with Hugh Grant in this is he's not like immediately bleak and blunt and cold. He's still just, you know, I would say funny, but just always smiling and just like polite. And yeah, so you can tell that he has multiple layers to himself and he's got certain motives and ideas, but he, throughout the whole thing, is just still very likable. So even when you know kind of who he really is, it's still hard not to like him.
Yeah, he's a really a likable guy, even in a horror film. But let's talk about Sophie Thatcher and Chloe East. These young ladies play the Mormon missionaries. Now, interestingly as well, they were both raised Mormon, so they could relate to their characters. Do you think that helped in the movie?
Yeah, you can really tell. They're both pretty similar, I guess, in that they're kind of like quiet and simple and sweet, but one of them's been raised in the church and is just so passionate about it. And then the other has kind of sort of found it later in life and is probably still kind of finding her way with what she believes and you know, where she fits into the church. And just the different dynamic between them, I think, is really interesting in itself. And like the conversations with Mr. Reed and both girls and just like the different opinions that they both have. And I guess you can tell that they must have been involved in the church at some point, just the way they know how to present themselves as the missionaries, probably the behavior, the rules, how I said they know that there needs to be another lady in the house for them to enter. They must know just like how that role is. They're very authentic, you know.
There is big raps on Chloe East saying she was the breakout star of the film. You know, she's one of these young actresses on the rise. Did you think the same thing?
Yeah, look, I was really impressed with her the most out of the two. Like, I don't want to have a comparison war. I really like Sophie Thatcher. I didn't realise that I already knew her, but I'd seen her in The Boogeyman, and I really liked her in that. So, you know, at the start of the movie, I probably preferred her, not just as an actress, but as the characters. But then Chloe East, she really becomes the favourite, I think, as the movie progresses. She seems like a bit naive and I wouldn't say simple, but, you know, she believes very strongly in her religion. But as the movie goes and these situations arise, she just shows like a real strength and resilience that you might not have guessed she had earlier on. You might have thought she was a bit too innocent and a bit new to the world, so she might not be able to handle it. But, she really shines through.
So talking about the actors, now let's talk about the directors, Scott Beck and Brian Woods. They both co-wrote this and directed it. They've directed many other movies. One comes to mind is A Quiet Place, that franchise. Have you watched other movies? Did you watch a current A Quiet Place, Duncan?
Yes, I've watched A Quiet Place 1 and 2 quite a number of times. I haven't watched Day 1 because I didn't hear the best things about it, and being a bit of a spin-off and not having, you know, the original family, I was like,
the original.
I don't know. Yeah, like, I'm sure I'll get around to it one day. I've heard it's also a slow burn, which like I was saying, I do enjoy. So I just need to get around to watching it. But I've seen The Boogeyman that Scott worked on. Like I said, I enjoyed that. You know, it was kind of a fairly generic type of scary movie, but I enjoyed it. Like I said, Sophie Thatcher was really good in that. I know he wrote 65, which I didn't watch because it didn't sound that great either. But, yeah, like, if he's done A Quiet Place and he's done Heretic, I think things are looking good for him.
Now, the budget for this film, I think, was under 10 mil. When you look at some of these budgets on some of these films, it's huge. So, does it look like a $10 million spend on the movie? Because from what I'd seen in the trailer, it looks pretty spectacular.
Yeah, look, it is set in a house. It really doesn't go to many other places. There's the occasional scene, you know, like at the start when the girls are journeying to find their houses to speak to people about Mormonism. But they're kind of just set in like a small town and they're riding their bikes along. So nothing extravagant and everything else is set at the house. So I guess the money would have come from just building the set of the house, which isn't enormous. They spend, you know, maybe the first 30 minutes in one room and then 20 minutes in another room. So it's not like you see every room of an enormous house. So I can see how they made that work. And they don't need a lot of money to have really compelling conversations that really make you think. And I don't think they need to have a huge budget for this. But that's great because the profit will be huge.
Yeah, of talking of, it actually in the opening weekend when it did open, worldwide it took 38 mil.
Yeah, it's not the type of movie where they need to spend crazy money on graphics and special effects. There's really only three characters in the movie for the most part. Like, there is other people that pop up here and there, but the focus for the movie is around Mr. Reed and the two girls. So they don't need to spend a fortune on extra actors. It's a really good way to make a great movie and not have to spend that much. So then the return is even better.
Didn't take long either. I think it was about 30 days for filming. So it was all done in Vancouver. Didn't take long. They got in, got out in 30 days and have delivered us a really great product. And so now all we want to know is, do the girls get out?
Oh, no, we can't. No, we don't want that.
Come on, Mr. Lee. Come on. If we twist his arm, he might tell us. He might tell us. Let's give him an extra chop top. No.
I've tried to be as vague as I can because, you know, that's the whole, that's the fun part. That's why you go.
Oh, damn. Well, can I try?
You need to go see it, JT. That's what you need to do.
That's right.
You need to go see it.
I do. Well,
to find that question out.
Duncan,
you know, it's like the people that you sit with either in the cinema or at home watching a movie, and they're like, "Who's that person? What, you know, what's happening? Where are they going?" And it's like, you're watching the same movie as me. If you just be quiet and pay attention, you will know what's coming. So that's my advice. Go see it. Pay attention to everything and you would know.
Yeah, but see, the way Grant Lee gets around this, Duncan, is he goes and watches the last 3 minutes of the film, right? And he comes on and goes, oh, I know what happens. Well, that's...
But you don't know the reasons how they got there.
No. But that's one of the downsides of working in a cinema, can I tell you? Because you have to go in at different parts of the time of the movie. And we always seem to, because we look on our run sheet and it tells us the time, we go in there and we go, oh, you know, it should be nearly finished. And then you see the end and you go, I know what happens.
I think I'd put in noise-canceling earbuds.
I'm not looking.
Yeah, exactly. No spoilers.
Yeah, keep your eyes closed. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really good. Now, we're on to how many chop tops would you give this movie? If I shouted you 5 chop tops, Duncan.
Which you would never do, by the way.
How many would you keep?
I would give it 4.
What? Oh,
I would eat one and I would give it 4.
Yeah. Wow. That is okay. Great.
Can I just ask, if you had, you said you're going to eat one, what flavour would it be?
I really like mint choc chip. Mm. I never get an ice cream at the cinema, though, because for me, I would make such a mess. Do you sell mint choc chip? I'm sure you do.
Of course he does.
We do.
yeah, that's what I would get.
Popular flavour. Yeah, well, it's actually really popular with young kids, which I'm quite surprised that young kids like mint.
I think it's like coriander. Some people think it tastes like soap, some don't. I think mint choc chip, some people say it's like toothpaste, and then some people have working taste buds and they like it.
Well done. Well, there you go. That is Heretic. It is out now. Make sure you go and check out the film. And as you heard from Duncan, a 4 out of 5, that's really good. So, yeah, if you're a Hugh Grant fan or you're a fan of horrors or psychological thrillers, this one is for you. A bit of a change of pace next week, though, Mr. Lee, for our next Talkin' Flickster.
Yeah, look, we're going to be watching The Lord of the Rings. Or Kraven the Hunter. I've given the Talkin' Flickster next week a choice of two movies, so he can go watch either one and give us a report back on what he wants to watch. So
it's a he, is it?
An animated one. Sorry?
It's a he, is it? We know, that's all we know. You're not giving too much away,
that's
here,
all,
Mr. Lee.
That's all I'll say. Yeah, that's all I'll say. I won't say his name yet. But yeah, he's actually got a choice of either film, which we've never done that before.
No, we haven't.
So I thought, you know, end of year nearly. So I thought, yeah, this will be a good thing. So we'll try it, see how it goes.
See, I think what's happening here, Dunk, I think he's realised that we've overspent on the credit card. So he's just keeping his options open at the moment. And did you check those charges, Mr. Lee? They were okay, weren't they? Did that pass the... I know that you were a little upset last week, and we did speak about it vaguely, but are you okay to calm down now?
I have calmed down a bit, but there are still a couple of charges that I need to talk to you about. So we'll talk off air on those ones. I don't want to talk on the podcast because I don't know whether for you personally or for something else. Anyway,
I'm not ready to hear JT cry.
Oh, no. This is very awkward, Duncan. This is very awkward. And how do we know Mr. Lee wasn't making those purchases? That's what I want to know.
he was at the Pokemon store in Japan.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He was buying all the plushies.
The most important thing that we know is he didn't spend the money on us. So we will catch you on Friday for our regular Talkin' Flicks podcast, midday on Friday. Mr. Lee, I think, is going to be there. You going to be there, Mr. Lee? You coming along?
Yeah, I will for a change. Yeah.
That's nice.
You're nice to me. If you're nice. Only if you're nice.
I'm not going to be nice. So you're not coming?
Yeah, I won't be there then.
We'll see. Thanks, Dunk. Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Want more Talking Flicks? Get your fix with every episode anywhere, anytime. Just search Talking Flicks on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.